the hallelujah. We thank and praise the Lord for gathering here one more time. We just came out of our 24th doctrinal conference. Hallelujah. And we were so blessed. You know, lots of times when the pastor gets up, he talks about how he's so similar to his pastor, the Pastor Colbert, who he had sat up under and served for 31 years. And guess what? We getting to be like him. Oh, my Lord. I was preparing for the service, and I was just handing my husband the scriptures, and he looked at it and started shaking his head. Quite naturally, I got much more than what I'm even going to be able to do. But it's just once you get into the words, you get excited, all these things start coming. And I know I'm not going to be able to cover all of them. But thank God I'm going to do what the Lord permits me to do this morning. If you'd be so kind as to bow your head, we'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace. We're praying right now for each and every person that's represented here, every family that's represented here. We're praying not only for those that are here, but those that are yet on their way. In addition, Lord, we're also praying for our worldwide web audience, those that are across the globe that are tuning in and gleaning those wonderful doctrines of the truth of the grace of God. Father, we're asking that you might help us all to have open eyes. Hallelujah. Hearing ears that we can behold the mystery of the gospel. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be ministering this morning from the document Proposed Transcription in Eternity, Manifest as Process Transactions in Time. This is a nice document. I used it the last time. I'll be ministering from the first paragraph of the first page, and then I'll be concluding with page 3 to 4, the first half of page 4. When we start thinking about transcriptions, what is a transcription? Well, when you go to any court of law in our country, normally if there's a trial going on, they have a court reporter who is recording and documenting every word of testimony. Every word. And that's what a transcription is. It's alluding back to the original decree of God. When he spoke, we say the spoken word. It's not literally one word, but it's one session. It's one sequence. It's one sequence, not literally just one word, but one sequence. See, most of us have the idea that God is making daily decrees or speaking words daily, that he is really reacting to the things that we do. Sometimes we think he's even following our lead. We think, for instance, that if we do something wrong, God will hold back his blessings based on what we did, when in actuality, that's not true. The plan of God in your life is a done deal. It was completed in Christ in eternity. Yes. It's not a coincidence that you're here with us today, that you're tuning in wherever you are. This is also part of the purpose and unfolding of the plan of God in your life. No such thing as coincidences. No such thing as happenstance. The scripture says that our lives are hidden in Christ in God and that they're completed in God. Then when we start talking about transactions, the transaction reflects the process. The transcription is the purpose, the divine will and purpose. The transaction is the process. Kind of like when you go shopping. You know, it's getting Christmas season, and most of us here get Christmas free frenzy fever, and we go shopping. You know, we've kind of made it like a real shopping bonanza. We have Black Friday, and we have Black Wednesday now. They had to move, to keep moving it back, getting more and more money. Yeah, yeah. But when you go to Walmart or Macy's or wherever you shop, you are making an exchange, a transaction. And that's what goes on in time. Transactions are the manifestation of God's transcription in eternity. The transcription is eternal. The transaction is temporary in time. It's the temporary manifestation of time. So I kind of give that to you so you can kind of connect with where we're going with this. We're going to start where we always start. See, you thought you got me, didn't you? Yeah. Where do we always start? Ephesians. Ephesians. Why do we do that? We do that because we know if you don't have eternity as the proper place where your salvation resides, you're not going to get the rest of this either. It starts with salvation. It starts with our safety and completeness in Christ and God, eternal. You know, if we don't have a firm grip on who we are in Christ and where it all manifested, where it all started, where it all was spoken, where we were all elected, hallelujah, then the other things aren't going to make any sense either. So, reader, can you please read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5?
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse, King James translation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen. My husband made a mistake there. He mentioned places. If in your Bible, places is italicized, that means it was inserted. In our Sunday school this morning, I was dealing with a young man, and we were talking about heaven. We were talking about how the scripture says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? In Christ. Yeah. You know, most people have the idea that heaven is a place, that we're going to have on our new robes and our new shoes, and that we're going to be strumming on a harp and floating on a cloud, and that we're going to have mansions and streets of gold and all of these physical things to describe something that is not physical. To describe something that is not temporal. See, anything that's physical is temporal. Anything that is spiritual is eternal and invisible. Our heaven is in Christ. In Christ. Not on streets of gold that perish with time. Not with gates of pearls in a city that's squared four square. Our heaven is in Christ. We will be with Christ eternally. He's the head, we're the body. So keep in mind that it's the blessings in the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? In Christ. Amen. And can you now turn to Colossians? Yeah, I follow with Colossians. Because, see, no need to have Ephesians if you can't do Colossians. They go hand in hand. Reader, can you read that for me?
Colossians chapter 2, beginning with the 9th verse. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
We are complete in Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And anything that is complete, you can't add to it, can you? If it's complete, you can't take anything away from it either. So your life is completed in Christ in God. Hallelujah. And that's where we can have the peace that passes all understanding, realizing that whatever comes, the scripture says we win. We win. Turn the light off. You don't have to scratch. You don't have to worry. Because it's already done in Christ. You know, I was talking to Sister Carly this morning, and we had worked together on a project last year for her daughter, and she gave me a great report. She said her daughter got everything right with most of the kids. She said all the kids got it wrong except her. You know, she was worried about that thing because she loves her daughter and she wanted the best outcome. And we got it. We got it. When we went to the meeting, the ladies were all prepared. I gave them two thumbs up. You know, they did an excellent job. And now we are concerned about our day-to-day life and activity when in actuality, God already got it worked out for us. Hallelujah. We're lacking nothing in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's get into our document. I'm going to start with the first page, just the first paragraph, to kind of give you a segue into the other couple of pages we're going to read. Eventfully, there is a distinct disconnection between humanly perceived processors in manifestations, or we're talking about in time, as merely predeterminants of God's decree of them from eternity. Time manifest entities seemingly motivate what they presently, abidingly contemplate, yet parallels between them vividly aren't corollarily of their originators afforded in potentials. Scripturally viewed, nothing could be apparently in perception of God's purpose, which solely constitutes what is foredetermined in eternal perspective. Factual, without God's prearranged causality in the matrix or in the time capsule, nothing could be charted. Physicality, secularity does not make this connection in resolutions in its terrains of illusions that God is conspicuously absent as the absolute determinant of who's calling the shots. The underlying issue is who or what is initiating and controlling the events of mankind. Oddly, such is affixed in the standby modes of fate, also identified as destiny and free will, which don't exist, will of man, there are arbitrarily deemed as vital functionalities. Free will and destiny are not functionalities. God alone is the creator and designer of all things. And this is where people get mixed up. They think somehow they're in control. Somehow things are happening because of something they said or did not say. Something they did or did not do. Whatever is, it's because it always is. It has been. It was actualized. That's the real. Actualized in eternity and manifested in time. When God's people's view is distinctively from the vantage point of eternity, confidence is the defining advantage in our life encounters, as eternal entities specifically motivate what such contemplates in the vivid outcome of origination in God's purpose. So when we are vertical viewing, when we're looking down on our circumstances in life, we can have confidence that things are going to work out all right, in spite of what we see on the physical plane. If you're vertically viewing, you're seeing life from the vantage point that God is in control and has completed everything, then you can enter into the rest. Amen. Conversely, to this eternal enlightenment, effectuation is peculiarly annexed in the mode of faith as destiny affixed to free will, wherein human credits are arbitrarily deemed as its vital functionalities. In the physicality secularity spheres, beliefs in these means are judged as compulsory to humanity's dilemmas as their conferred imparted influences for determining events according to human resonations. Spiritualism, in this sense, departs from eternity and enters into time. And that's where we get all messed up. When we look at things that are in the natural and try to give it a spiritual spin to explain what's going on in the natural, in the seen realm, in the physical realm, we try to mix them up. There's a complete difference between the two. If it is physical, it's temporal. It's of the earth. It's earthy. If it's spiritual, it's invisible. And it's eternal in the heavens. You all getting that? In physicality-secularity relations, there are demands on the one hand for freedom from its menacing potentials, yet on the other hand, such are co-signed inconsistencies and oblivious. Conversely, elusive perseverances of everything as good, beautiful, and positive, such as relationships, are restrictively co-signed to reminiscing and spiritual unawareness connecting to metaphysics and mysticism as absoluteness. When we start again looking at spiritualism, we got to think about actualization in eternity. When you think of spiritualism, you got to think about eternality. When you think of spiritualism, you have to think about God's divine will and purpose. Flip to the other side. When you think of physicality, you have to think about manifestation only. When you think of physicality, you think about the time process. You think about the temporary. When you think about physicality, you must think about the processes, not the divine will and purpose, but the processes which are driven by the purposes of God. Okay? Inevitably, consideration of future interactions is connected in the process of constantly swallowing up disappointments of the past. You know, the Bible says we're to forget those things of the past. Press forward. Forget those things that are past. Press forward toward the mark of the high calling. What are we pressing for? We're pressing for knowledge of who we are in Christ. Knowledge of who he has, what he has done for us. And again, as we receive knowledge of who we are in Christ, we're able to enter into the rest. We won't be so fearful. We won't be afraid. We'll be able to run to the roar. Yeah, you'll be able to roll your sleeves up and say, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because the scripture says we win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be able to turn the light off. Yeah, I told the boys, the young men in Sunday school, I said, if Satan came in my room tonight, I'd just turn the light. I said, it's just you. It's just you. Why? Because he is not calling the shots on nothing. Who's calling the shots? God. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. We win. I don't care what's going on in your life. It's subject to change any minute. Oh, yeah, yeah. Regardless of what's happening, it's subject to change and subject to work out for your good. Yeah. What do you want to believe? Whose report you want to believe? You want to believe what you see, which is just a reflection of something that's appearing right there? Just keep on. Something else is going to appear. God is going to change that thing for your good. Amen. And that's how we have the confidence, because of the vertical view. The vertical view will give you confidence in your daily living. Hallelujah. Consequently, in time, there is presently approaching sorrow and joy. So we have a paradox there. In general, sorrow and melancholy are connected with being overwhelmed. As such, are bound not only with regard to their burden-bearing future, but to unreturnable elapses, past separations. Accordingly, sorrow and melancholy seem unconquerable in time, yet victory over them solely consists in eternal actualizations that transcend visualizations in burdened-down venues. Yeah, it looks bad. It looks bad, and that makes us sad. That's a real emotion. That's really part of what in life we have sadness. We have bumps in the road. We have things, dilemmas, life dilemmas, things that happen. But we have to look beyond that. And how do you do it? You have to have a self-talk. I have them all the time. I have them all the time. If I look at what actually is in front of me, the physicality, I'll be overwhelmed all the time. I told y'all I got 10 kids. Y'all got one or two and think y'all have trouble. I got 10. Yeah. Whatever's going on with your one or two, multiply it times 5 or 3 and you get where I am. How do I do it? I have to vertical view. I have to look up in the face of Jesus. I have to look into the word and see who I really am and what this is really going on, what it's really about. Hallelujah. And I realize that at the bottom line, I win. I win. He always causes me to triumph in him. Hallelujah. I can turn the light off. And you can too. You can too. Whatever is going on, realize that it's subject to change and this too shall pass. Then you can get a hold of things. Do I get sad? Do I experience sorrow? Absolutely. But am I going to muddle in it and linger in it? No, absolutely not. I'd rather realize who I am in Christ and get glad, realizing that God is in control. Hallelujah. Strictly in the physical, secular arena, sorrows tend to rise as confidence inevitably wanes in passive regulations where humanly creative acts are patently recessive to any abiding potentials. While testimonials of these acts are documented in time, their purpose is outside of time. The pastor often says, you're not to ask what? But ask what?
What is that for?
Yeah, don't ask, what is this? Ask, what's it for? There is a higher calling and a higher meaning behind everything that manifests. Everything that manifests, manifests for the divine will and purpose of God, and it's for your good. This is how, when you're vertical viewing, this is how you can give God thanks for all things. For all things. This is how you can stop second guessing. This is how you can stop finger pointing at others. And this is how you're able to move on with confidence. This is how you can walk in love even with your enemies. Even with your enemies. Even with those that seem to come against you. Yeah, yeah. You know, as you might realize, I used to be pretty fiery. Oh, yeah. Pretty fiery. Yeah, I'm pulling out my sword like Peter. Remember Peter in the garden? When they were taking Jesus off, he cut the soldier's ear off. Yeah, I always had my sword ready. Yeah, I'm ready to pull it out. Yeah, but am I that way now? Oh, no, no. I'm getting kinder and gentler. Yeah, because I realize the battle's not mine. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, dominions, and mights. Hallelujah, but I'm over all of them. Hallelujah, I'm walking with Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when things happen, I can smile. I can speak with a soft voice. Yeah, God has really done a work in me. Let me tell you, I ran into a colleague, and she said, oh, my God. She said, Karen, she said, you seem to be so different. Hallelujah. See, she didn't know that was the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's mellowed me out. I'm not moved by much that comes. Yeah, yeah, because I realize that it comes to pass. That's the reason it comes, to pass. And that I don't have to get all ruffled, have my blood pressure up. I can sit back and wait on the Lord to fight my battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's easier to walk this way. Yeah. Yeah, it's easier to walk. I had a call from my sister-in-law. She and I sometimes are a little at odds. And she was, you know, spouting off and getting all hot and bothered. And I was saying, is that so? I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, I'll consider that. And she was just so shocked. She called her daughter in California. She said, something wrong with your auntie. Yeah, she said, something wrong with her. Something wrong with her. She called my daughter the next day. She says, your mama all right? She says, I know I was out of line, and I was, you know, in retrospect, you know, I was saying some things shouldn't say it, and I just want to know if she all right. And she called me. She said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. She said, you never responded. I said, it wasn't worth a response. Yeah. And you know what? You can do the same as you look into the light of the word and realize who you are in Christ. Yeah. You will realize that in all aspects of your life, God has the last say so. And remember we said he was a kind father. Remember we said he's our number one fan. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So when you look at the things that are around you, you have to realize they're only there temporarily. And it's according to the divine will and purpose of God. They are connected in the search. We are connected to the search of instantaneity, where the power thereof is non-existent. Our confidence in God is controlled by his purposes. And as our confidence increases in his word and who we are in Christ, the dilemmas wane. They take their proper perspective. We get away from the sight scene. Think about Peter walking the water. He did pretty good. He asked Jesus, can I come out there? Jesus said, I'm just paraphrasing. Jesus said, come. So as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was good, wasn't he? It wasn't until he started observing the wind and the waves that he started to falter. And I'm telling you, stop looking at the wind and the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, I didn't like that song at first. I told the pastor, didn't I? I said, oh, my God, Pastor, you know, we sing all these dry hymns. And I said, I don't know if I like this one. But you know what? As we started singing, yeah, it's my favorite. I started singing it in the shower. It started bringing me comfort even in my sleep. I'd go to sleep thinking about turning my eyes on Jesus. I'd wake up in the morning thinking about my eyes on Jesus. And I'm telling you, turn your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at the bills. Stop looking at the out of order children. Stop looking at the uncertainty on your job. Stop looking at your health issues. And start looking at the real, which is the eternal view. Amen. Actualize moments. Thank you. Give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's already worked it out for your good. Hallelujah. Actualized moments aren't situated in the disorder of time, but rather in pre-designed emergence beyond it. Everything going on in our life is pre-designed beyond time and beyond our influence and impact. Beyond. Beyond time's venue, there is the attained fullness of joy of the eternal present. Eternal presence encompasses purposed emergence in manifested order of time's past, present, future. No such thing as past. No such thing as future. Everything is the eternal now. Everything is the eternal now. And when we can realize that it's all now, we won't be lamenting about the past, what we coulda, shoulda, woulda, the opportunities we might have missed. We won't be so invested in the future, which we can't, you haven't even gotten there yet. Don't even know if it's promised to us. We might not even get to that frame in the matrix, in the time capsule. Might not even get there. But what do? We sit up and worry at night about something that might come. Or we worry at night about what could have happened that's already gone. You're wasting your good time. Because nothing, the past, you can't change it. The future, you don't even know if you're going to get there. What do you have? You have right now. Right now you want to make a decision to serve God. Right now you want to make a decision to walk after peace. Right now you want to make a change in your life toward your idea of who you are in Christ and what was wrought for you through salvation. Right now. So when we keep that in mind, therein is meaningful value of things experienced in moments that seemingly situate totally within them. This is connected in its insufficiencies within time, which such solely implies, however, that God's triumph are in the eternal beyond temporal order. Eternality overviews the past, present, and future, even though its specific objectives and advantages in the present are randomly projected within the past and future. Testimonials and narrations as connected in time's problems should likewise be considered in this view. They can be considered as objectified, such as situated within the power of time entities, wherein the order of the past, present, future, but their purpose is the eternal existence rather than in their so-called inner destiny in time frames. We are again in the eternal now. The keys to victorious living is living in the eternal now. Not looking back over your shoulder like Miss Lot did in the Old Testament when they were leaving Sodom. And you know what happened to her? Yeah, she turned into a pillar of salt. Yeah, so we don't want to be like Miss Lot, looking back all the time. And we don't want to be so invested in the future that we're missing out on the opportunities of praising God for right now. See, everything is about Christ. Your all in all is about Christ. Every second, every moment should be about Christ. And we ought to see Christ in all things. That's why we are able to praise God and be thankful and have thanksgiving for all things. Because we realize that all things are all about Him and what He has done for us and His eternal plan of salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about Him. Say that. Say it's all about Him. All about Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Strictly in these experiences, their spiritual commentary isn't within unfolding recitations connected, but beyond the primal documentations of the physical arena. In this, God's eternal declaration overshadows all earthly projections, which persist yet never yield consistent communications. God's purpose transcription predominates not as outward given reality, but actualized existence. God's plan for us, his actualized plan in eternity, his eternal plan is the real, real. What we're visual, what we can see in physicality is temporary, it's carnal, it's earthy, and it is subject to change. Subject to change. Hallelujah. Hence, just as there are surface undertakings of time parameters, such are even more in definitive completion of infinity, measureless things in eternity. That's why he said, eyes have not seen. Hallelujah. Eyes have not seen those things that he has in store for them that love him. Eyes haven't seen. Hallelujah. But it's revealed by his spirit. It's revealed in his word. Hallelujah. Look into the word. That's where your liberty lies. Therefore, there is quantitative infinity beyond worldly quantity. As the sum total, such is in comparison the sole petitioner in non-fractal integral quality. Hence, God's purpose is clearly advantageous. An understanding that there can't be any utopian attainment since eternity isn't realizable in measurable merit. You cannot quantify all of the blessings that we have in him. Hallelujah. You can't measure them by what you got in the bank. Can't measure them by how much education you've attained. And oh yeah, we are for education here. We believe that, you got to learn more to do more. We believe in education. But that's not your final attainment. Your job, which is possibly here today, gone tomorrow. We all know about downsizing. Your home. How many of us know people who've had foreclosures and lost homes? What I'm saying is all the things that we put credence and we put value on here in this life are all subject to change and past. We want you to set your affections on things above, not on the things below. Hallelujah. Because that's not a true reflection of your real life. Your real life is your hidden life in Christ and God. Hallelujah. That's where the real action is. And that's what we should prioritize. Prioritize who you are in him and what he has done for you through his eternal plan of salvation. That's where our, see, the great things he has for you are unmeasurable. That's why he talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. And how do you tap into that? You tap into that by knowing him. And how do you know him? You know him through your word. Through his word. See, read your Bible. Stop reading the newspaper and the horoscopes. Yeah, put them down. Put them down. Read your Bible. Yeah, that's how you do it. Don't get on the Zodiac line. Yeah, pay that man, whoever, $2 a minute or whatever people be doing. Yeah. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible and pray and meditate on who you are in Christ. And the Lord will speak to you. You don't have to do those things. Accordingly, eternal insight definitely discloses the essence of determinable solitude and the variable reliance beyond things physically viewed. Again, transcription equals God's decree equals actualization equals eternality equals spirituality. Can't mix them up. Can't mix them up. So transcription goes back to the word of God, goes back to that original decree in eternity of who you are. The grace scriptures address such challenges in deputing modernistic scientism, which exhibits a cold, hard view of the universe, looking at the world in a very mechanist way. Eternal viewing manifests evidence in a very different way, in particular wherein the universe might be construed from an impersonal perspective. Such is an inherent part of the universal system, which describes predetermined meanings in it. Such insist upon prearranged purposefulness and achievements not necessarily displayed in the sphere of either human lives or of the universe as a whole. Measurements of time, space, are something in relativity as such measurably dependent upon intensifies of human experiences. Joy seemingly can be harnessed in an instant, whereas suffering is endlessly harnessed in time. We talk about the joy of the Lord. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, that's the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. And it seems like we just get flashes of joy. And that's because we're not keeping our eyes on the vertical view. But suffering and sorrow, oh my God, that goes on endlessly. We revisit those things all the time. We get triggers and flashbacks and go back to all that sad stuff where we're being beaten down, where we're losing. I want you to flip it. When things come, realize that they're only temporary. They're only temporary. Think about Job, and we used him today as an example. Think about Job. Yeah, he had a lot going on for him, right? A lot of folks was envious and jealous of Job. He had children. He had houses. He had land. He had cattle. He had it all going on. And what happened to him? He lost it in an instant, didn't he? And then his buddies came. Bildad, Zophar. Yeah, it was another one. But they all came, and instead of them comforting him after 7 days sitting there watching him suffering, they said, you know what? We already knew something was wrong with you, that you was a phony and a fake. You're just getting what you deserve. And when the Lord turned his captivity, he had to pray for them, for them to get back in right standing with God. And everything that he lost, he got it all back, including a new young wife who had more kids. Yeah. He got it. His wife, what did she do? She said, why don't you curse God and die? And what did he tell her? You talk like a silly woman. He wouldn't do it because he realized that if he lived, he lived in God. If he died, he lived in God. To live, to die, it's all about God. And you know what? We need to come to that conclusion too. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Hallelujah. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Yeah. Yeah. We're just passing through here. We're just pilgrims. This is all temporary. The real is our life in him. And we have to magnify that. Transactions are just manifestations. They're physical. They're in this time capsule. They're temporary. They're processes. Transcriptions, purpose. Transactions, process. And it's the purpose that drives the process. The first phase of 2 Corinthians 4:10 states, for not as not reaching to stretch ourselves over much. The order of scripturality overstating material organisms coexists necessitations in substantial concepts. Don't definitively interfere naturalism's deductions. These conceptual multi-organisms emergencies simply describe physical connection or projections that are accessible in numerous characteristic cooperatives. Example number one, they reference the temporal emergencies in complex systems developing over time and are acceptable descriptions of material development. So again, those are processes. Number two, varieties of deduction concentrating concerns or states of physical epistemology are subjected to capacities conceivably regarded as possessions in material systems. All of them are temporary. Anything that's material is temporary. It's passing away. Anything. That includes your loved ones. That includes your possessions. Your nice car. We already talk about cars. You know, I like that new car smell, but I hate them new car notes. Yeah, but does it smell new all the time? Gets old, doesn't it? We need to set our affections on things that are above, not on the things that are below. purpose transcription in eternity. That's where the real action is, in eternity. The underlying issue is who or what is calling the shots. Who is initiating and controlling events in humanity? What about man's destiny and free will? You know that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as free will. No such thing as free will. You're not making a decision. You know, people say, well, I found Jesus. He wasn't lost. Jesus wasn't lost. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is that he elected you in eternity. He selected you. You were special. In eternity, he called you out before there was a you in this body. You make no bones about it. God alone is the author and finisher of our faith. God alone is the creator and designer of all things. Reader, can you please read 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 14? And yeah, I'm going to read one of them maybe. I'll get to at least one. You know, and what he's turning to is talking about physicality and spirituality. And that's what we're talking about when you talk about transcription, which is spiritual, and transaction, which is physical. Amen. Have you got it, reader?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 7th verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judge of no man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. Don't be fearful that these things are beyond your knowledge and grasping, because they are not. As you seek, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. You will be able to know those things that are unsearchable. You'll be able to know about the real, that invisible eternal, where all the action really is. You'll be on the front line, hallelujah, walking in victory as you vertically view. Can you turn to the next reference we have, please, reader? And that is, he's turning to 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18, and we're going to conclude with that. Hallelujah. Do you know that you cannot take physicality to explain spirituality, but you can take spirituality to explain physicality? Amen. So as we are vertically viewing, we're looking through the eyes of faith. We're looking through the guise of who we are in Christ and the Word. Then we're going to be victorious and have the peace which passes all understanding. Have you got it, reader?
Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with the 13th verse. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of men redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things seen temporal, things not seen eternal.
Amen, amen. So what you see is temporary. Don't faint. Don't faint. It's temporary. It's subject to change. Turn your light off. God's got it. We need vertical viewing to properly interpret all of our life experiences, such as our changing environments, our life and death dilemmas, our health and career challenges, our love relationships, science, faith, and finances. Actualization in eternity is the real, real. That's where the real action is. That's where everything is real. What we're looking at is temporary in time and it's passing. Manifestation in time, this is just a reset. Just a reset, and it's temporary. In conclusion, viewing life from the vertical plane of our position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight.